Is it time to call the Bronx Police Department? Because the Yankees are truly missing at this rate. What the heck is going on in the Bronx? We'll recap the Yankees' three-game set against the Tampa Bay Rays and try to decipher what the heck is going on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. It has not been fun in Yankee land to start the year. The Yankees have lost five straight games. They are now 5-10 on the year. They are in last place in the American League East Division. They have one of the worst records in baseball. This is not good. And to add fuel to the fire, the Yankees get swept at home by the Tampa Bay Rays, a team that is dealing with a ton of injuries and hasn't figured it out offensively yet this year. But still, the Yankees lose another series, and it's getting to the point where it's getting very, very concerning. We're going to break down these series as a whole and try to figure out what the Yankees can do to get back on track on this episode. There's probably no answer set in stone, but we're going to try our best because obviously we're all missing the days that the Yankees were good and the Yankees were at the top of the division and not at the bottom. You have to still think that this team has way too much talent to be playing at this level. Before we get started, follow us on social media. Are you somebody who wants to rant about the Yankees? Are you frustrated with the way things have gone? Do you have an idea about how they could get back on track? Send us your thoughts. At Pinstripe Talk ND is the account of the show. At Nick Delahanty is my personal account. We're also on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. And you can find us on Instagram by looking up Delahanty Media. Now, if you're new to the show, we welcome you aboard. We thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to check out our show and talk some Yankees baseball. We hope the negativity of this show doesn't make you never listen again, but we do have to talk about the negative as well as the positive. So, you know, you got to bear with us till they get back on track. If you're new to the show, find us on any podcasting platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show is there available for you. You could also check us out on our YouTube stream, Delahanty Media. Subscribe, hit that little red button. You'll get all the content from our show and all of our other exciting podcast that we have been creating for our brand. If you're returning, obviously you know that already. We thank you for your support. Make sure you're following, subscribing, however you feel to listen to the show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. It does help the show a lot. So after I gave you my little spiel, obviously you guys know the deal by now. It's time to talk some Yankees baseball. Whether you've listened to the show or not, I want to give you a little bit of a sense of me as a whole. For those of you who are returning listeners, obviously you know that I bleed Yankees pinstripes. I love the Yankees. I'm very passionate about them. For the most part, I am very positive about what I have to say about them. And if you don't believe me, if you haven't listened to the show before, go back. Listen to old shows. A lot of what I talk about, I try to spin the positive because, you know, we see so much negative in our world, and I try to bring out the good. And I try to focus on that good. Today's show, I'm having a lot of trouble finding anything good to say. Now, I thought about sleeping on it and waiting to record till Monday when they had the off day. But I thought against it because scheduling and whatnot, I wanted to make sure that I had a show out available for you guys because I promised a show after every series. Now, this team, and you guys may not agree with me, but to me, this team is not fun to watch. They are very frustrating to watch. And, you know, it's a lot of the same faces from a year ago and 2 years ago. And I am one that was very excited about some of the new pieces they brought in. Seeing what Kluber could bring into the mix. Tyone. Other than that, they really didn't do much. It's basically the same team. Now, if you watch them, they're irritating. They're frustrating, to say the least. First of all, I am a very big proponent of good defense. I think that defense ultimately helps you win championships. Good pitching and defense are very crucial to what you're trying to accomplish. And over the last couple of years, what has hurt the Yankees the most? Starting pitching and obviously defense. You could put in their offensive struggles at really bad times, but we're going to focus on those two things. So when I see the Yankees playing defense, it frustrates me to say the least. When I try to sit there and watch a game, it's really bad that I'm sitting there and I'm saying, okay, the only person that I'm confident in them hitting the ball to, other than DJ LeMahieu at first, because obviously I'm not going to count him. If they hit the ball his way, I'm perfectly content with that. The only person I am truly confident in them hitting the ball to is Gio Urshela. That is not good, considering there's 9 players on the field. You know, that is one thing that really does bug me. And then starting pitching. If you don't get length out of your starting pitching, you're not going to win games. Let's look to the crosstown rival Mets, okay? I know we hate to talk about the Mets, but they're playing good baseball at this rate, so we're going to use them, right? Jacob DeGrom, who's out of this world, goes 6 strong innings. The Mets are in a game. He goes 7 strong innings. The Mets are in a game. We know the woes that the Mets don't hit for him, but good starting pitching helps. Then you look at Marcus Stroman, very efficient recently. Can he hold up to that? Obviously, who knows? But he's been effective, he's been efficient, and it's gotten length. And that's what you need going down the stretch and throughout a season. You can't overtax your bullpen. It is going to be a recipe for disaster. And that's what the Yankees continue to do. And I saw it on social media, and I thought the same kind of sentiment. The Yankees are trying to be somebody who they're not. For years, the Bronx Bombers did it their way. You know, they brought in guys that fit their caliber, that had that heart and determination. And it just seems like they're trying to play the analytic game, and they're trying to outsmart people like other teams. I'm sorry to tell them, but they aren't, and they never are going to be, the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays operate the way they do because of their budget and their situation. Tampa Bay does not have the tremendous payroll and the draw to bring in top-name free agents. They work with what they have. They draft very well. Their analytics department is very good. They mix and match. They have guys that wouldn't wow you through 162 games, but in the situations and the roles that Kevin Cash uses them in, they thrive, and they fit the bill of what they're trying to accomplish. The Yankees are not that, and they keep continuing to try to be that, and it's not going to work. And game one of the series was a perfect indication of that. Michael King gets recalled from the minor leagues. Now, logically, in the past, you need a spot starter. Domingo Germán is not eligible to come back up and join the team yet because you have to be down 10 days. So King comes up, and you would assume that King, being a starter for the majority of his professional career, would get the nod right out of the gate. Well, you were wrong. Nick Nelson, who was predominantly a reliever in his career, gets the start, and it put him in a bad spot to which he struggled. The Yankees were down 2-0 before they even got up to the plate. Nelson did not have it. Threw 30 pitches, only 15 for strikes. It was a situation where Nelson even admitted to reporters that he didn't feel comfortable with it because he hasn't had that opportunity to start in the past. He forgot that kind of regimen that he used to use prior to starting games. So I think the Yankees are trying to outsmart their opponent, but in the meantime, it's hurting them. Analytics are great. You can get a lot of information out of them. Trust me, I understand it. I look at numbers and stats every single day. It's one thing that I do religiously. Like, I look at it, I like to look at the data and things like that. But you also have to take into consideration these people are human beings, and there is a personal side to it. Did the Yankees ever say to Nick Nelson, you know, are you confident or comfortable starting a game for us? You know, did anybody sit down and say, you know, you haven't started, maybe this regimen might work for you? Should you change it up as to what you've been doing in the past to get ready as a reliever? Like, were these things taken into consideration? That's the question I have. Because logically, and I'm not playing manager, but I love watching games and being able to play manager and think about how I would handle certain situations. I would have went to King early on, saw how long he could go. If he gives you 3 to 4 innings, gets you through the order once, maybe even twice if you're lucky, you know, you take that and then you roll with it. Then you bring in a Luis Sessa or a Nick Nelson or a Lucas Litke, who ended up pitching 4 innings in relief later on in the game. So you mix and match in that situation. I think bullpen games are a solution in a crunch when you need it. Obviously, I wouldn't say that it's something I would like to see often, but every once in a while, I think that it can fit the bill and get you through a sticky situation that you may find yourself in. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. If Nelson pitches well, gets through the inning unscathed, you turn to King in the second inning, everybody's saying, oh, you know what? It worked out. But I just don't think the Yankees took the human element into it and put Nelson in a spot where he was not destined to thrive. Kevin Cash uses his pitchers in situations that they could thrive. He uses his hitters in a situation that they can thrive. That I don't know if you'd blame Aaron Boone for that or Brian Cashman or the analytics department. I don't know. But it is a very bad situation when you put somebody in a spot where they're not comfortable or confident in that role. I'm sure Nelson went out there and took the challenge. I'm sure if Boone said, you know what, you're ready to start the game, he probably said, yeah, Skip, I'm ready to go. He doesn't seem like a guy who's going to back down from the challenge. But I do think the Yankees should have thought thoroughly about this. Maybe went to Green and Loaisiga, who have a little more experience doing this type of thing, and, you know, taking it that way. But, again, I would have started King. I think he deserved it after his last outing. Thought he looked rather solid other than the 3 walks in his 3 innings of work. Threw a lot of pitches, but, you know, he kind of got the job done. And I think that the Yankees handled it a little bit wrong. Now, another issue is, obviously, when you're not scoring runs, it doesn't matter what your pitching staff does. If they let up 1 run, you lose 1-0, you're in trouble. Yankees have 3 hits in this ballgame. Let me put it into perspective for you. They had 3 errors. So they had just as many errors as they did hits. That's pretty embarrassing if you ask me. And the 2 runs that they scored in the game came off a Giancarlo Stanton homer in the 7th inning, which, to be quite honest with you, was a meaningless homer because at that point they were already down 8-0. You know, with this team, they really don't have much life. And unfortunately, didn't work out for the Yankees. They end up losing this one 8-2. We mentioned the pitching. Nelson started the game, did not look good. King threw 3 solid innings. Sessa got hurt by the error game. He let up 4 runs. Only 1 was earned. And then Litke closed it out for 4 innings. He allowed 2 runs over that span. Another very frustrating game. The team was legitimately lifeless. And it's going to be something that you see throughout the remainder of the series. After this game, Aaron Boone met with the team and apparently was mad and had a talk with them. Well, obviously, things got to turn around. Everybody keeps saying, you know, this is going to turn around. We got to turn around. But who's going to actually do it? That's everybody's distinct question. So after Boone's little chat with the team, Yankees come back in game 2. And to be quite honest with you, it was a little bit of the same thing. Yankees offense really does nothing. They only register 5 hits in the game. And now you may be saying, well, Tyler Glasnow was on the mound for the Rays. He simply did not have it. He only pitched 5 innings, walked 4 guys. The Yankees had runners on base, it seemed like, every inning. And they just still couldn't get to him. Only allowed 1 run, and it was just rather frustrating. They were 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position, left 7 guys on base. And they wasted a quality outing from Jordan Montgomery, only allowed 4 runs on 2 hits, walked 2. The home run ball did hurt him, but you have to look at it and say, you got length out of your starting pitching. Like, it shouldn't be a death sentence if you let up more than 3 runs, especially with the way the Yankees are supposed to be hitting the ball. So Montgomery, is like the first Yankee pitcher other than Cole to go six innings in a game. It's incredible. We keep asking for length, asking for length. We finally get it. Can't take advantage of it. Yankees go on to lose this one 6-3. And for the fourth straight game, suffer a loss. Now, let's kind of go through the scoring here for you. Mejia got the Rays on the board with a home run to right field. Any other stadium in Major League Baseball wouldn't have been a homer. The Yankees quickly tie it up on a DJ LeMahieu RBI single. Go to the top of the fourth. Margot hits a home run. That was the second one off of Montgomery. Makes it 3-1. Then Joey Wendell homers in the seventh to right center field. That scored 2-5-1 Tampa Bay. Yankees do rally in the bottom half of the seventh. Rudnick Odor hits his first Yankee home run. 443 feet. It was an absolute moonshot. Then Aaron Judge hits a double to right center field, scoring LeMahieu. That's the closest the Yankees would get. The top half of the ninth, Mejia was not done. He doubled to left, scoring Brasseau. 6-3 is your final. So now you lose the series. The seventh straight series the Yankees have dropped to the Rays, including the playoffs. The Rays continue to own the Yankees. I think they're like 5-16 over their last 21 games against the Rays. It's utterly, utterly pathetic. But when you've lost four straight and you need a stopper, bring on the $300-plus million man in Gerrit Cole, right? Gerrit Cole, the one to stop the bleeding at Yankee Stadium, Sunday afternoon game. Was it meant to be? No, it was not meant to be. The Yankees offense goes cold again. Only three hits on the day. Three hits. If you do the math, let's do it together. I love math. Three hits in game one. Give me five more in game two. That's eight hits. Game three, three hits. That's 11 hits in three games. They didn't even average four hits a game in the series. I had a pause there because I'm hurting my brain talking about this, to be honest with you. I'm very frustrated, to say the least. Cole was doing Gerrit Cole-type things. Now, I'm going to put my manager's hat back on. The end of the sixth inning, Gerrit Cole was at 97 pitches. Okay? Let's just remember that. 97 pitches. The game was currently tied at 2. Let's take you through the scoring so you know where we're at. Stanton got the Yankees going in the bottom half of the second. He hit a home run to right field. Another chip shot was barely out of the ballpark, but we'll take it. In the top half of the third, the Yankees defense lets down Cole. Hicks misses a couple of balls in the outfield or botches them. Yandy Diaz hit a single, scoring a run, and then the runners moved up by an error on Hicks. Then Margot hit a sack fly to left. Clint Frazier decided to throw the ball into the pitcher like he was playing baseball where you're with your friends outside and there's not enough people to play the bases, so the mound is kind of like you're out in safe mark, pitcher's terminal. I couldn't think of the wording there. And just a really ugly and frustrating inning. So the Yankees at that point trailed 2-1. DJ LeMahieu, guy hits with runners in scoring position. He singles to right in the bottom half of the fifth to tie the game up. Now, let's jump to the seventh. Here's where manager Nick came into play. Okay? Cole had the 97 pitches after six. With the Yankees on their skid, I'm sure the conversation in the dugout was probably like, Aaron Boone walked in the direction of Cole, and Cole said, you don't take me out. Not a chance. I'm staying in this ballgame. And Boone probably just walked away and said, okay, you do you. Like, good for you. I'm keeping you in. I'm not going to argue with you. Regardless, Cole comes out for the seventh and is left in a little too long. The Rays score a run on an RBI double, and they hold the lead for good. Joey Wendell added a home run in the ninth off Darren O'Day. 4-2 is your final. Just very frustrating that the Yankees kind of pulled a Mets with Jacob deGrom and wasted a good Gerrit Cole outing. I was very frustrated that they put him out there for the top half of the seventh. I think that at that rate, I know that Cole wants to be out there and he's a competitor, but I would have turned it over to the bullpen at that point, knowing that he was close to that 100 pitch mark, and early on in the year, go to the fresh arm in the pen. Chad Green ends up throwing two really strong innings of work. O'Day let up the home run, but then got two other outs, so the only blemish was the home run. But when you bring in Green, if he starts the seventh inning, you get two clean innings out of him, you're going to the ninth with a tie game. It's a whole different ball game. And with the Yankees offense struggling, you can't allow for mistakes and miscues like that to happen. So a very, and I mean very, frustrating way to end the series. A very frustrating series, to say the least. The Yankees strike out more than they hit. It's just, what else can you possibly say about this team? Now, there are a couple of things that I want to point out. Number one, we are going to see some roster movement on Monday because, shockingly and randomly, Jay Bruce announced before Sunday's game that he'll be retiring from the game. And Bruce, at 34 years old, former first-round pick of the Reds in 2005, three-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger Award, played 14 years in the bigs, 319 home runs, really did have a solid career overall. But from what he was saying was that he didn't feel he could compete at the level that he expected of himself and decided that it was enough. Now, we all saw the writing on the wall. Nobody thought that he was going to be around long term. Was this a decision that the Yankees knew were coming? Let's go back to Saturday when Aaron Boone said, expect to see DJ LeMahieu at first and Odor at second for the foreseeable future. Did Bruce come to them earlier and say, look, I'm going to retire after the series. Here's what it is. Maybe that's how it happened and the Yankees knew this was coming. Or the Yankees told Bruce their intention, maybe said, you know what? Come Monday when Mike Ford, or please note to Tyler Wade, but he's an option, Tyler Wade are available to come back up, we're going to DFA you. You can go look for other options. And Bruce maybe said, you know what? I started the year 4-for-34. I'm missing fastballs that I used to be able to hit. I don't think I have it anymore. My defense at first isn't there, so that's an option that teams aren't going to really look at me. Maybe it's time to call it quits. But nonetheless, he had a great career. Obviously, it didn't work out with him when he was a Met or a Yankee, but regardless, the guy had a solid overall career. Hall of Famer? No. Good career? Yes. You got to give him a lot of credit, and I think that the leadership that he brought to the table was something that could have been valuable for this Yankees team, but unfortunately it didn't work out. Now, that was number one. So I wish Jay Bruce the best, obviously, before we move on. The second thing, the starting pitching. It has to be better. We talked about it, obviously, on the last show and the show before, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it more. The pitching needs to be better. After an off day Monday, the Yankees host the Atlanta Braves, who haven't been hot to start the year, for two at the stadium. Then the Yankees go on an 8-game road trip where they take a 4-game stop in Cleveland and another 4-game stop in Baltimore. But looking ahead to the upcoming schedule, you have to at least split with Atlanta and you have to win your series on the road. Both series are very big for this team. They have to turn it around now. And looking at the next series, they have Tyone in game one and Kluber in game two. They need length out of those guys. They don't have a choice. They need those guys to contribute at the level they're capable of. We're getting to that point. We're in April, the end of April. They have to start getting back on track. It can't be the same excuses. Oh, they haven't pitched. Now they're starting to get into a rhythm. They have to start to settle down and get this team back on track. Offensively, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. They look lifeless. I think that, number one, you got to get Aaron Hicks out of the three hole. I don't care how you do it. You got to drop him in the order. You can't hire him. You got to drop him. He's lost his step in center field. His defense has been terrible. He really has been simply useless. Until he figures it out, maybe, and you guys are going to be shocked because I've been telling to get him out of the lineup for how long, maybe play Brett Gardner out there. Or here's a better idea. Maybe play Mike Tuchman, who's rotting on the bench. That might be logical. I think, personally, give Tuchman the start in both games against Atlanta. Can't be much worse than what Hicks is doing. This Yankees lineup needs some type of shape-up. I don't know what the deal is. They really got to figure it out. Speaking of the lineup, Gary Sanchez gets hurt in game two, takes a foul ball off the hand. Luckily, nothing was broken. It was kind of ugly, but nothing is broken. It looks like Gary will be back in the lineup on Tuesday. Remember, he had the day off on Sunday. He'll have a day off on Monday. Hopefully, he'll be able to return on Tuesday. If not, you'll see Kyle Higashioka behind the plate again. So maybe that will add a little bit more juice to the Yankees lineup. But to be quite honest with you, I think their approach absolutely stinks. A lot of the strikeouts you see, they're looking at really good pitches. Why are they not swinging the bat? Aaron Judge, way too patient. Clint Frazier doesn't look like himself. Is it mental at this point? Is it mental, the game that the Yankees are playing with him? You know, every time he does something wrong, they're going to sit him or not play him? Maybe it's getting in his head. Maybe he needs a refresher. I don't know. I don't know the right answer. Gleyber Torres doesn't look like himself. You're not getting the normal production out of DJ LeMahieu. Yeah, he's still hitting in the 265 to 280. I'm not going to give you a full number because obviously I don't have it in front of me. But he's still doing DJ LeMahieu type things. But it's still not as high as you would expect, especially coming off of 2 years where he hit 300+. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this team looks lifeless. Like, I don't know if I was spoiled growing up watching this team, but you had guys like Paul O'Neill, who sits on the broadcast and kind of looks to be that guy to wake them up. You had guys like David Cohn, Derek Jeter, Tino Martinez, Bernie Williams. You had guys that absolutely cared about the outcome on a daily basis. And you had a guy like George Steinbrenner, who, when things weren't going right and this team was losing, even in spring training, you heard him. He was a presence. It was happening. It wasn't acceptable. And I'm not going to single out people because, obviously, from where I am, I don't see what these guys do on a daily basis. But from what you see on TV, does this team care? I really don't know the answer to that. And I would love to know the answer to that because, obviously, you know, if they don't care, if these guys are just collecting their paycheck and, you know, it's all hunky-dory, then you're going to see these same results. But until somebody in that clubhouse, in that locker room, decides to step up and be like, you know what? We're tired of getting punched in the mouth. We're tired of being the laughingstock of the league. The big bad Yankees, one of the highest payrolls in baseball, are 5-10 to start the year? Are you kidding? That's a joke. Sorry to tell you, but that's a joke. And I don't know who needs to kind of hear this, but the players need to be the ones to fix it. Blame Aaron Boone all you want. You know, maybe he's not motivating this team. Maybe he's not the answer as the manager. Who knows? But if it continues, he's going to be on the hot seat. And I think he knows it. I think the Yankees know it. Look, this team has all the talent in the world. They have a ton of it. The bullpen's great. You're looking at the lineup and you're like, how is this team not scoring runs? Because they have the same approach. Swing for the fences, strike out a ton, don't hit well with runners in scoring position, and that is a recipe for disaster. It's not going to help. It's not going to work. It's not going to benefit them. Something's got to change. And unless it does, you're going to see a lot more of this in the near future. Now, hopefully the off day refreshes them. And I'm hoping that series against some teams that are not in the division will do the Yankees well. Let's remember, the Yankees have seen a lot of Tampa and a lot of Toronto. Two very good clubs. The Rays haven't been great yet, but like I told you, dealing with a lot of injuries. They're going to be good. And Toronto's got a young core that could match up with anybody. They really do. And if their pitching holds up, they're going to be a nuisance in the division and in the American League. So something's got to change. I don't know what that is. I really wish I did because obviously if I knew, I'd be running to the Bronx to call Aaron Boone to let him know. But I think it all starts with trying to put the best 9 guys out there on a daily basis and see where it goes. And hopefully your pitching holds up and continues to pitch at least a bullpen per se at the level they're capable of. I don't know. I'm very frustrated by this. This series really, really got to me. And I hope that this is rock bottom and the only way that we're going to go from now on is back up. I can't predict the future, but one thing I do know, regardless of how it goes, I'll be here talking some more Yankees baseball in the very near future. Expect our next show after the Braves series on Wednesday. Once that wraps up, we'll have new content for you. It's a quick two-game set, so it'll be a shorter show. We'll preview the Indian series and look ahead to the rest of the road trip as the Yankees begin that 8-game road trip. Man, oh man, oh man, we hope it gets better. But we do thank you all for listening in to the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. Again, you can find us on all podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts and Spotify are the big ones. Subscribe, rate, and review on there. You can also check out the video stream on our YouTube channel by going to Delahanty Media. If you're interested in following us on social media, find us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. Rant about the Yankees all you want. We'll chime in with you. And at Nick Delahanty is my personal account. If you want to hear some Tar Heels and Yankees mixed throughout your timeline, that's the way to go. And we're on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, the Pinstripe Talk Podcast is powered to you by Delahanty Media. Check out our website, www.delahantymedia.com, for all the latest news and updates regarding our brand. But once again, this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Although times are tough, let's stick together and let's hope that we're on the verge of things getting better. As always, let's go Yankees, and we'll talk to you really soon.